Well, good morning. I think I'm on. Man, I don't know how Ben does things, so I told him that I would be on my best behavior and I would not embarrass him too bad. But when he called me and asked me to come do this, Jesse and I were already planning on taking this weekend off anyway. We were debating on whether we were going to go to Georgia, back home. I am a Georgia boy, okay? We grew up just on the south side of Atlanta, and I know you've heard of Atlanta, but we lived about 30 minutes south of Atlanta in a little town called Hampton, Georgia. Anybody here NASCAR fans? Anybody? Okay, a couple of you. I grew up less than like 5 minutes from Atlanta Motor Speedway, okay? So if you know where that is, that's my hometown. If you don't, I just told you that for nothing. But when Ben asked, I'm like, man, I've got to come for one reason. I need to come meet the people who actually hired that dude, okay? Like, I needed to meet you guys just for that, okay? Man, we have been praying that he would find Jesus for so long, and he finally has. And so we're so excited. Now, Ben, if you hear this and you're watching or you're listening, you're welcome. But I am excited to be here, and I will tell you, I was a student pastor for 20 years before I became a senior pastor, okay? To me, those titles are just like, when God calls you into the ministry, he calls you into the ministry, and the titles may change over time, but you're still in the ministry, okay? But I haven't changed my delivery. Is that okay? When I talk to adults or I'm talking to students, it's still the same Jesus, right? And I will warn you, I know I've grown up a Baptist my entire life, okay? I've been an SBC dude. I'm an SEC brat, okay? Because my dad's a pastor, my uncle's a pastor, my cousin is a pastor, my grandfather was a deacon in his church, okay? I was drugged to church from the time I entered my mother's womb, okay? But here's the thing. I know how Baptists are, okay? We like to sit on the back row. You know, we're the back row Baptist. So you back row Baptists, be careful. I might come to you before this day is over. Okay, I'm a roamer. I can't be still. All right? I've got way too much ADD energy that I just can't be in one place. All right? So when they ask me, are you a roamer? And I'm like, bro, I'm not only a roamer, I'm a runner. And so here's what I will tell you. I'm going to warn you about a couple of things, okay? Number one, I like to mix humor into the message, okay, because I believe laughter is a good medicine. If you do not like to laugh in church, you are going to hate the next 2 hours, okay? Okay, you're with me. Okay, I had to throw that in there just to see, okay? I had to throw that in, all right? So I grew up on the south side of Atlanta where being the light color of my skin was different, okay? So I remember my third message I ever preached was in an all-black church, and I didn't know it till I got there, all right? I didn't know it. I showed up, and I went, one of these things is not like the other, all right? And I'm telling you, I got into the message. I said, hey, if you got a Bible, turn. And the next thing I know, I heard the organ. Bah, bah, and I'm like, what is happening? But then I just started thinking, these are my people. Okay, these are my people. So I need you. Now, here's warning number two. I need you to help me this morning. Okay, because if I'm explaining something, and you just sit there like, then I'm going to assume you don't get it. And I'm going to keep explaining. Okay? But if you give me some sort of, well, amen, something, I'm going to go, they get it. They get it. I can move on. So this message is going to be as long as you want it to be. Okay? I promise you that. All right? And I'll make one more promise. I will not be long, and it will not be boring, okay? I always tell people, if you tell me the Bible's boring, it's because you're boring. It's not the Bible that's boring. You're boring. Okay, take a breath. Here we go. If you got a Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to explain and kind of run through a story here this morning that you have probably heard. You've heard it mentioned. But again, I want to quickly, as you're turning there, tell you about my relationship with Ben, okay? I met Ben 4 years ago when I moved here to West Virginia from a little state called Tennessee. Anybody ever heard of it? Anybody ever been to Tennessee? We were in between Nashville and Chattanooga, okay? Right in the middle there in a town called Tullahoma. And again, you're going to say, Tullahoo? I get it. Just Tullahoma, all right? Because nobody here knows where that is. I can guarantee you nobody knows where. You know where Tullahoma is? Are you serious?
I lived in Morristown for a while.
Did you really? Okay. Well, Tullahoma is where we spent 5 years, okay? And I loved it. I was a student pastor there, loved it. I moved here, met Ben. We just connected right away because we both have that student ministry past. And so we just connected and became great friends. I love Ben, okay? And I will say, after I've talked bad about him, I will tell you, I am so grateful that you guys got Ben, okay? I really am. I love his family. They're incredible people. And I think Ben is going to do some awesome things here in this area. And not just because I like the guy, but simply because I know he's got the heart of God in him. And so I'm excited to see what's going to happen. Now, as you're still turning, because I still hear a few pages turning, that's okay. And I want to tell you that Jesse and I have never been to this side of the state until yesterday. We're kind of West Virginia transplants. We've only been here about 4 years, so we're still learning the state. And we came and did something that, you guys ever done the bunker tour at the Greenbrier? Man, I was so tired at the end of that tour, but it was beautiful. Man, the Greenbrier is awesome. And so we went and spent some time walking around there, and I've never walked so much in my life, but I kept telling Jesse, man, my knee's killing me. But so, you guys ready now? Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. I need to make sure you're with me. Have you ever been to a dinner party? I mean, that's almost one of the things like, you know, it was just Thanksgiving, like just a couple days ago, right? And somebody said they counted Ben's family, all 1,904 of them. And so I saw that picture too, and I'm like, my goodness, I wouldn't remember those names. Like, how do you know all those people? But so, what do you remember most about a dinner party? Is it the smell of the food? Like, you ever walked in somewhere and just went, oh, it's going to be a good day today. You know what I mean? You just walk in there, you get a whiff, and you're like, oh, grandma done been cooking today. She been cooking a long time. It's going to just set my plate and move, all right? Or was it the conversation? Do you ever sit around with your family and have some good conversations? Or maybe you sit around with your family and think, who invited him? Now, look, I know every one of us got that one family member that when it's time for Thanksgiving, you're thinking, oh, no. Is Crazy Carl coming? You know what I mean? Is that uncle coming? Is that cousin coming? Now, look. Be careful, because if you're sitting there going, I can't think of one, you're the one, okay? Okay? It's you, all right? So we all have that one. Maybe it's the atmosphere, just something about it, just something about being around people. Now, I don't know if you can tell, but I'm an extrovert, and you probably don't know that, but I like being around people. I like people. But then there's a time where you're like, I'm tired of people. You know, even as an extrovert, Jessie is very introverted. And she just wants to, now again, I'm not going to tell you her age. I almost did, but I'm not. But one of her favorite things to do is crossword puzzles and jigsaw puzzles. And I'm going, my ADD brain would be like, ugh. Like, I'm like, she gonna be good when she's 111 and in a nursing home, she's already gonna fit in well. She's an introvert. And I'm the one that's like, no, let's go. And she's like, no, let's stay. But there's something about atmosphere of just being with people. Anybody sports fans? OK, I'm a huge sports fan. I don't care if there's a ball involved, I'm involved, okay? And because I hate my life, I decided last year to start coaching a middle school girls basketball team. And I did it because I hate life. And have you ever tried to work with middle school girls? They'll bless your heart, okay? And by bless your heart, you wanna lay hands on them? Usually around the throat region and pray for them as you're choking the life out of, you know what I mean? Okay, so I love sports, okay? But can I tell you, there's something different about watching sports on TV and being there. There's a difference. Now, I still yell at the TV just like I would yell, and Jesse's like, they can't hear you. It makes me feel better, okay? So there's something about the environment. There's something about a dinner party that's just special. I hope you've had time to find Matthew by now. If you haven't found it by now, we in trouble, okay? Matthew chapter 22. Some of y'all are going, come on, we got lunch. So Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Are you with me? Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the streets and corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Would you pray with me? God, I just ask as we step into this time, God, would you remove me from a platform that only they can see as they look this way, all they see is Jesus. God, have your way in these next few moments. Speak in the way that only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're a note taker, I want you to write this down. Did I go the wrong way? Hey, y'all fancy down here, okay? So if you're a note taker, write this down. Number one is this, the generous invitation, a king's wedding banquet. Could you imagine what it would be like if you got a call today on your way home and a king was coming to dinner next week? I know what Jesse would be doing for the next week. Cleaning everything. I mean, she'd probably go into the cabinets and wipe them down. She'd take the silverware out because we don't use that too often. We country folk. So, like, we use the plastic stuff. So she'd take the good china out and wash it real nice and pretty. And y'all look at me like, no, my house is spotless all the time. My house would be ready to go right now, right? There's something about a king when they invite you to their palace. What would happen if you got a call? Now, listen, don't yell at me here, okay? Because I don't care what your political views are. But if the president of the United States asks you to the White House, it's still the White House. There's still some sort of prestige to it. Now, you may not like the man. That's okay. there's something about the White House itself to be invited. Now, can I be honest with you and tell you, I wish this president would invite me to the White House, because there's a few things I'd like to say, but again, we just gonna step out and leave it at that, okay? But again, I don't care if it was Trump, Obama, I don't care if it was Bush, I don't care if the president of the United States. And can I just pause right here and say, our job as Christian is to pray for that man, okay? You with me? Pray for that man. Whether you like him or not, pray for him. He's appointed by God. Again, I don't want to get too political, but we'll just stop right there. But there's something about the invitation. And can I tell you, we get all pretty. You ever seen a young teenager getting ready for their first date? You ever seen that girl getting ready for prom? It's a 4-day process. And that's before they buy the dress. Buying the dress is like, And then they got to get ready. You know, they got to get their hair did and their nails did. And they got to make sure everything is perfect. They won't eat for 3 weeks to make sure they still fit in the dress. It's a process. And it's just a dance. Now, again, I ain't knocking prom. I went for all 4 years in high school. Okay, it was awesome. But it's just the night that goes away. It's for the pictures, right? It's all about it's the memory. I get it. But what about a king's invitation? Can I tell you there's a king's invitation on the table this morning? There's an invitation from the King of Kings on the table this morning. And what you do with that invitation is not up to me. It's not up to me. I wish it would be. I'd just walk around and tap y'all on the head and y'all be saved. But it ain't up to me. What you do with it is up to you. The invitation is out. He tells, go into the highways and the byways. Go see the people and tell them to come. But they said, no, I ain't coming. I like people. I'd be pretty mad if I invite people over to my house and they tell me no. Like, there might be a throat punch. I don't know, but if you tell, like, I've been preparing all of this for you, and you tell me no, this is the king. You can tell me no, it's all good. You ain't hurt my feelings. I might be mad at you for a month or two, but you ain't hurt my feelings. But here he is. This is the king inviting the people, and they tell him no. So he says, well, what do you mean no? This is my son. It's his wedding. You're not going to come? How dare you? But can I tell you what he says here when he says, okay, they don't want to come, go get somebody else. And you tell them to come. Can I tell you, everyone is welcome at this table. Everybody is welcome at this table. Can I tell you why that's such good news for me, somebody like me? What I haven't told you is, yes, I was a pastor's kid, but I was I lived the stereotype of a pastor's kid. By the time I was 14 years old, I started drinking. By the time I was 16, I started doing drugs. See, I didn't accept Christ until I was 19 years old. I was an alcoholic and a drug addict before I ever graduated high school. I don't deserve to be invited to this banquet. But God doesn't look at people the way you and I do. See, I got an invite, and it was up to me to what I did with it. I knew more Bible by the time I was 14 years old than most people ever forget in their lifetime. Because I was raised in a Christian home. My dad did Bible studies with us around a dinner table. Imagine that, right? And I still turned out as a jerk. Let me make sure I go the right way this time. Number two is this. There. The acceptance of the invitation is our responsibility. I can't make you come. I can only invite you. Now, I don't know how you guys are at this, but I'm a man. I don't know if you can tell, but you get these invitations to a wedding. You know what I mean? You ever got those invitations in the mail, and they come with this little card, and it says, please respond check yes if you're coming, no if you can't, check what meal you want, you know, all that. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm a man. I see those things and I'm like, they'll find out if I'm coming if I show up. That's when they'll find out. I don't know what I'm doing on that date. I don't know. I don't work that far in advance. I'm on a day-to-day schedule, okay? That's all my brain can compute. I don't know. So 2 weeks after it comes in the mail, Jesse will find it sitting on the table. Because y'all got, does mail stack up at your house? Like, is it just mine? Okay, cool. Just me. So she'll find it stuck in the mail. She'll see this, hey, did you respond to this? And I'm like, are you still holding the card? How would I have responded if you're still holding the card? No, I hadn't responded. What kind of question is that? That's a trap question. You know what I mean? That's a trap question. Men, if your wife ever comes to you with a new pair of jeans and she says, does this make my butt look big? That's a trap. Run, men. I always respond with, I don't think it's the pants, but I don't do that. It's a joke. I can't do that or I wouldn't be standing here in front of you, okay? So you get this invitation. It's like, you need to respond. And Jesse's like, you need to tell them. And I'm like, they don't need to know. This is just a suggestion. No, they're planning. Then plan for us to be there. And if we're not, you'll have leftovers. There you go. So she'll go, no, we're going. Well, what if something comes up that day? No, we're going. You going, but I don't know if I'm going. I'll know the day before. So she'll check, yes, here we come. And then she'll tell me like the week before, hey, you know we're going, we got a wedding Saturday. Then she'll tell me Wednesday, hey, you know we got a wedding Saturday. And then on Thursday, hey, you know we got a wedding Saturday, right? Friday night, you know we got a wedding tomorrow. Sunday morning, Saturday morning, what's your plans for today? I don't know, Georgia's playing. No, we got a wedding to go to. No, you don't get married in the fall on a Saturday, okay? No. The invitation is open to you. And it's up to you to respond. This parable illustrates the various response you can give to a king. There are many choices you can say. This group has invited guests and they refuse to come. So he gets tired of waiting on those people. And he goes to another group. What about you? You want to come to the party? And then he goes, you coming to the party. Can I tell you, you got many choices to this invitation. This invitation to the king's wedding party, you got many opportunities and many times you can simply say, yes, I want to be there. And your invite is the day that Jesus went and hung on the cross. And he died for you and for me. You mean he died for a drug addict and an alcoholic? Yes. And he invited me into his kingdom. He invited me. He called me. And I don't take that lightly. Jesus hung on a cross and he died for us. But can I tell you, I know you've probably heard this 1,000 times. I'm talking to a lot of church folk. I can see it. So you know, if it would have stopped at the cross, it would have just been another death. It would have just been another death. Romans crucified people all the time. It had just been another story. But see, they walked him a few hundred yards. They laid him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he said, I don't need it anymore. You can have this tomb back. I don't need it anymore. And he got up and walked out of the grave. I love the story when he says that they got there and the stone had been rolled away. Can I tell you, the stone was rolled away for you and me. Jesus didn't need the stone to move for him to get up out of there. Okay? The stone was moved for you and me for our benefit. He could have just walked right through the stone. Okay? That's Jesus. Once he resurrected from the dead, everything changed. Everything. Now look, that hit like two of y'all. Okay? Let me just rephrase this, okay? Because that you didn't get that. So let me say it a different way. Anybody ever been to a funeral? Lord, they're no fun. I get it. My uncle just passed away a couple weeks ago. I was in Georgia for his funeral. I get it. Anybody ever been to a funeral where the person in the casket got up? Can I tell you that's funeral over? Well, take that back. I don't need that casket, okay? Because if I go and that person sits up out of that casket, I'm going to need it. Because I'm going to have a heart attack. I ain't never been to one of them. If you have, let's talk later, okay? But Jesus got up and walked out of the grave and everything changed because that meant the invitation had changed. Because now he's inviting you into eternity. See, this ain't just about a meal sitting around a table, although there is going to be a banquet. And there's going to be a bride. And that's me. That sounds weird, don't it? I think that's why Jesus hadn't come back yet, because he's seen me, he's pictured me in a wedding gown, and he thought, oh, I'll get a little bit more time. But the Bible calls us the bride of Christ, and he's coming for his bride. And there's going to be a banquet. And can I tell you, I know of one person who's going to be at that table. Me. Because I was there when Jesus changed my life. I don't know about yours. I can tell you I'm about 99.9% sure of Jesse's. There's that 0.1% that I'm like, she still struggles with obedience, Lord. And so I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm going to be in trouble. I got a 3-hour ride home with her after that. Can we strike that from the record? Okay. So I know about mine. Okay. I know I've accepted the invitation to the wedding banquet. And can I tell you, I can't wait to get there. Like, I can't wait. Like, I love you and all. I don't know all of y'all, but I can tell you, I promise you, I love you. But I'd much rather be there than here. But as long as I'm here, I'm going to go out and tell everybody I can about this banquet, about this invitation. He tells them, go out. Well, they won't listen. Go again. They still won't listen. Well, go again, but they still won't listen. Don't stop telling. I don't care how long it takes. Don't stop. Do you have somebody in your life you've been praying for? And some of y'all be going, man, I've been praying for them for years. Can I tell you, don't stop? Because see, I'm probably one of those people. My parents prayed for me for years. There were people in my dad's church that prayed for me for years. And one day, June 27th, 1997, I hit my knees as a drug addict and an alcoholic, and I stood up a brand new creation, because that's what God says we are. So that's going to lead me to point number 3, and I'm done. Some of y'all thinking, finally. The wedding garment, clothed in his righteousness. You remember there in the story we just read where he got to that one guy and said, how you get in here? Who let you in? You ain't dressed right. See, you ain't got on the right clothes. Mattology moment, okay? Mattology, okay? Can I tell you, sometimes we put way too much credit onto what people wear? Can I tell you, we just look and go, I don't believe they know the Lord. Can I tell you, I got one of my best friends in the world. He's a pastor in Texas, but he's pastoring a church in Texas, and he's doing great things. God are doing some great things. We went to college together. But when you see him, you would look at this dude and go, is he going to kill me? because he's tatted up, man. He's got sleeves on both his sleeves. He's got sleeves on his legs. He's tatted up. But can I tell you, that dude loves Jesus more than most people in this world do? And God is using him to reach people that you and I can never reach. And we'll look back as a stereotype and go, I don't believe I'd do that. Well, if God didn't tell you to do it, don't do it. But hush when other people are reaching people that you can't reach. Okay, so next moment over. But he says, you've got to be clothed in the right wedding clothes. Can I tell you what that is? That ain't your favorite dress. That ain't your tux. That ain't your favorite top hat. I like hats too, by the way. Can I tell you what that is? It's the righteousness of Jesus. Hear me. You're not getting into heaven without Jesus. There's no other way. I don't care how much money you got, Matt. You don't know me and my money. Can I tell you, your money is useless in heaven? What you gonna do, buy your way in? Jesus, have you seen my bank account? Jesus, look at you and go, have you seen mine? Mine trumps yours. But you know who I am, Jesus. I'm a fifth generation preacher. Can I tell you, there's going to be preachers that will bust hell wide open. Can I tell you, there's going to be Baptists that are going to bust hell wide open. Well, I've had my name on the Sunday school roll since 1947, Jesus. He can look at you and go, okay, cool, but I don't see you in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you can take your Sunday school roll and, well, if there's no Jesus, there's no banquet. You don't get there, but any other way but Jesus. That's it. I heard a preacher one time say this. Y'all know y'all heard this too, right? Jesus don't have grandchildren. You don't get grandfathered into heaven. He's got sons or daughters. That's it. And I tell you, when I hit my knees that night, as a lost, confused, still a teenager, I was 19 years old, but I hit my knees that night. And when I stood up, I was clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. You ever put that coat on? That's a good coat. Knowing that Jesus has your back. If you're a Christian in this room, you got two jobs. First job, to be discipled by someone. To be discipled. We all should be being discipled. Every one of us need a Paul in our life. Somebody who is going to disciple us. Every one of us need a Timothy in our life. Someone who we are discipling. And a third person, we need a Barnabas. We need to be encouraged. Man, as a pastor, I need to be encouraged. Because sometimes you look across the congregation and you go, half these people sleep. If y'all sleeping this morning, y'all really tired, okay? So our two jobs are to grow in your relationship with Christ. And job number two is to go invite people to the banquet. Can I tell you, the average Christian will never lead anyone to the Lord? And most of that is because you never asked. Can I tell you, there's a world that is hurting and are begging for a Savior. You've seen our world lately. They are hurting. Well, if they would just come to Jesus, well, somebody's got to tell them. You ever told anybody? Somebody had to tell you. No, I heard it in church. Can I tell you, that worked in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, but it's different. Can I tell you, people aren't just going to walk into church because they saw your sign anymore. Somebody's got to invite them. Somebody's got to go tell them. Somebody's got to reach them. And guess what? Hello, somebody. You're all somebody. You got a job. Listen to me. I told you, I think Ben is going to do an incredible job in this area. But Ben's one man. And Ben will do the job of one man. And it'll be a great job. But what if all of you became and said, you know what? Ben's awesome, but he can only do so much. He's going to need me. Now, I don't want you to say that with arrogance. Ben, you need me. Listen to me. I know some people, and because again, I'm an SBC dude, been in Baptist churches all my life. Some of y'all in this room think this church needs you. But this church will go on long after you're gone, okay? Because it doesn't need you, it needs Jesus, okay? And if a church ever becomes about one individual, it's no longer a church. As long as that one individual that it's about is about Jesus, you're doing your job. So humble yourself before the Lord, okay? What he needs is a body of people who will wrap their arms around him and his family and follow as God leads him. And here's what that means. Go tell. Go tell. Go invite people to the banquet. And the only invitation, the only way you can understand this wedding garment that he's talking about is accepting the sacrifice that he went through on the cross and then his resurrecting. That is the wedding garment that you put on. That's it. There's nothing else. Listen to me, church. I want to close with this. I want to tell you a story of what motivates me and why I love to share the gospel and why I will share it with anything that breathes. That's including a tree. Okay? I will share the gospel with a tree if I think it'll get saved. Our dog, Olive, is going to heaven. Like, we've already shared the gospel with her. The cat, we're still not sure about. Cats are hard-headed. We're still praying for Shadow, okay? Y'all join us in praying for, okay, I'm kidding. So, I will share the gospel with anyone and everything. I love it, okay? It is one of the greatest joys that I get as a Christian because I spent most of my life trying to deny him and to prove that anybody believed in him was a pansy and was weak and they needed a crutch to lean on. But can I tell you, when you're broken, a crutch is a pretty good thing, isn't it? When I accepted Christ, he began to change my heart and change my desire, and everything changed, and now apologetics is one of the greatest things. I love to be able to defend what I believe, why I believe it. I love to be able to share that with people, and I'm going to tell you a story that motivates me. I had a friend named Casey. Casey's the guy that I party with and did drugs with. We drank together. He was one of my best friends, and not long after I accepted Christ, Casey called me, and he says to me, "Hey, Matt, are you busy? Can we talk?" And I said, "Casey, man, I'd love to, but I'm about to fly to Texas to speak at a youth event. And I can't. I'll see you on Monday. Let's go to breakfast on Monday." He said, "Okay, but if you can do it sooner, do it sooner." And I said, "Yes, dude, we'll see what I can do. I'll talk Sunday evening. I'll get back into town." Sunday afternoon, I get a phone call from his mom. And she says, "Matt, have you talked to Casey lately?" I said, "I just landed in Atlanta. We're supposed to meet up for breakfast in the morning." And she said, "Matt, I just found him on the bathroom floor, and he's OD'd. He's gone." And I said, "What?" She said, "There's a note here addressed to you." And I said, "Oh dear Lord, I'm on my way." I got in my car, didn't even drive home, drove straight to Casey's house. I got there and I opened up the letter and here's what it said. "Matt, I knew that you found a way out of this life and I just wanted out. And I wanted to know how you got out." Can I tell you, in every face I see Casey. because not another person is going to go to hell on my watch. Because if I would have just rescheduled, what if? But I can't live in the what ifs. It breaks my heart to know. But nobody else is going to go there on my account. And I will share the gospel with anybody and everybody. Not just in the name of Jesus, because that's the most important. But in Casey. So I'm going to ask you this morning. Church, I don't know you. I don't know you. Whoop. There's a seat at the table with your name on it. There's a seat with an invitation that has your name. He's calling you by name right now. The food is warm and is ready. The atmosphere is filled with anticipation, and it's time to respond. And remember, you have to be dressed appropriately. And that's with the blood of Jesus. Listen to me, church. I don't know where you are, and I'm not going to pass an opportunity. I got to ask. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt this morning that if your name was called, where you would spend eternity? Is there somebody in here this morning who has never accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Listen to me. You can believe in Jesus and still go to hell. The demons believed and they shuddered at his name. You hear his name and you hear the invitation week after week after week, and you keep saying no. I've got other things that are more important. Listen to me, church. There is nothing more important than eternity. So I got to ask, where are you this morning? You may be a church member of this church for years, but you've never made it right with him. Can I tell you, now's the opportunity? Now's your chance. I love it when pastors say, the altar's open. Listen to me, we don't get the privilege of an altar, okay? This altar's opening, whether it's they're in the middle of the worship, you want to come pray, the altar's here, okay? I don't get the privilege of opening the altar, okay? It's here. But I'm going to ask, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do not pass this moment by. So bow your head and close your eyes with me. I'm just going to simply ask. I'm not going to embarrass you. I will not do anything to embarrass you, because I don't want to do that. And I'm not going to draw out a long invitation either. It drives me crazy when preachers say, we're just going to do one more verse. And I know there's somebody. Quit. You're trying too hard. We're not going to make this hard. We're going to make this very easy. Can I tell you, accepting Christ as your Savior is easy? Make it hard. We go through this. Can I tell you, of all my years of studying the Bible, I've never read the sinner's prayer anywhere in the Bible. But here's the thing. For you to confess him, it's just simply you saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me? And Jesus, save me. Can I tell you, that's it? That's it. When Peter started to sink in the water, he just simply looked up at Jesus and said, save me. And Jesus reached his hand and grabbed him. This is your sinking moment, and you're saying, Jesus, save me. If that's you this morning, and you've just prayed that simple little prayer, I want to say to you, welcome to the family.